There was no option. We were going to meet together here on Sunday, and we were going to face you all. That was given. Our guest speakers were not going to be here. That was given. So now what do we do? How do we actually provide something for the community? And that it was actually a very exciting kind of process and sort of reminds you that, oh, I'll need a month to prepare is not necessarily the truth. Whether you prepared excellently or not is another question, but we'll leave that to your assessment. So when I first asked Old Hands and Alana to come and talk about this, as I mentioned before, it was because I wanted us to think about how we live Unitarianism and how Native spirituality and our seventh principle kind of work well together. So in part of my research, I looked on the UUA website. There's a whole bunch of sermons that are listed there, and you can find a sermon on anything if you want it. And I got permission to use it.
At almost the last minute, I might add. Anyway.
And this was a sermon written by the Reverend Ray Birchelson of a Unitarian Fellowship in Appleton, Wisconsin, in the year 2000. And their fellowship actually is located on Native land, and they also have Natives who come into their congregation, so it was quite worthwhile for them. The other source was a sermon by Reverend Peter Morales, who is the president of the UUA in the United States. That's the Unitarian Universalist Association. Sorry for using acronyms here. So there are two. One is the Unitarian Universalist Association in the U.S., and the other is the Canadian Unitarian Council here in Canada. Both Unitarians. Some people use both Unitarian and Universalist. Some people just use Unitarian. Anyway, he is the president, and he wrote a sermon called Religion Beyond Belief, which I think is worthwhile. And the third source is the Royal Canadian Mounted Police Native Spirituality Guide for the RCMP, written by the Directorate for Community Contract and Aboriginal Policing. Interesting, eh? And that source was written and created by various elders in Canada for the purpose of educating the RCMP so that they could be sensitive to Native cultures and customs and not mistake an old stick on the ground for an old stick on the ground when it was actually some ceremonial sacred object, and how to be respectful of that. So those are my sources. You can see I'm really well prepared here. I've actually put this all together. So starting from Reverend Birchelson. Today there is a great interest within our Unitarian Universalist faith about Native American spirituality. More and more Unitarians are learning about Native American spirituality, and in some places, congregations are beginning to attract Indian members. For many European American UUs attracted to Native American spirituality, the most powerful experience of prayer occurred while in Native American sweats. I've not had that experience. Has anyone here experienced being in a Native American sweat? Not a sweat led by a white person, but led by actual Natives? Yes. And you, Rob, as well? This attraction to Native American spirituality makes perfect sense because there's a great deal of affinity between our tradition and Native American spirituality. And the roots of this affinity partially lie in the Transcendentalist movement that began just a decade after Unitarianism's formal beginning in the U.S. Transcendentalists such as Ralph Waldo Emerson and Theodore Parker unloosed Unitarianism from the linear time perspective anchoring traditional Christianity. Now, I don't know about you, but sort of, and Facebook has timeline right now, and it's sort of like one right after the other. The thing I like about Facebook is that it all exists all the time, everywhere. It's not linear. The computers are not linear. And Native spirituality is not linear. It's rooted in place. It's rooted in this place is sacred for all time. So the Transcendentalists basically rejected the Orthodox Unitarian belief in the absolute historicity of the Bible. That's a good word, isn't it? Historicity. Instead, they viewed the Bible through a mythological lens. What is important in the Bible is not when the stories happened or even whether they happened, but what the stories teach us about how to live our lives now. And, of course, that stories from other religions can also teach us how to live better. Whoops, wrong page. Okay, Paige, where are you? There you are. Okay. For the transcendentalists, the Bible and other sacred scriptures are not the only location of religious truths. Our own souls, for those of you who are willing to accept that as a word, and the natural world also contain powerful religious truths. Revelation of the divine is not sealed, they said, limited only to the word of God passed down in scripture. It's kind of weird reading these words now because we sort of like take this for granted that that's not so. But at one time in our history, it was not. For the transcendentalists, revelation is as close as your own intuition, as close as a walk in the wood. Nature, more than anything else, evokes the truths within. Having loosed our faith from its mooring in a linear time frame, the transcendentalists now anchored it to the world of nature and land, not time, became the focus. Transcendentalism is the root of our affirmation that we are part of the interdependent web of all life. The transcendentalists not only appreciated nature, but recognized that we are part of that beautiful natural world. And the goal was to live in harmony with nature. Now, in that, I find a real harmony with Native American spirituality. I'll read you a little bit from the guide for the RCMP. And this quote is from a book called Black Elk Speaks. Have any of you read that book or know of that book? You know? Okay. And it was written in 1930, and Black Elk was spiritual advisor to the Oglala Sioux. You have noticed that everything an Indian does is in a circle. And that is because the power of the world always works in circles and everything tries to be round. In the old days, when we were a strong and happy people, all our power came to us from the sacred hoop of the nation. And so long as the hoop was unbroken, the people flourished. The flowering tree was the living center of the hoop, and the circle of the four quarters nourished it. The east gave peace and light. The south gave warmth. The west gave rain. And the north, with its cold and mighty wind, gave strength and endurance. This knowledge came to us from the outer world with our religion. Everything the power of the world does is done in a circle. The sky is round. And, says Black Elk, I have heard the earth is round like a ball, and so are the stars. The wind, in its greatest power, whirls. Birds make their nest in circles, for theirs is the same religion as ours. The sun comes forth and goes down in a circle. The moon does the same, and both are round. Even the seasons form a great circle in their changing and always come back again to where they were. The life of man is a circle from childhood to childhood. And so it is in everything where power moves. Our teepees were round like the nest of birds, and these were always set in a circle. The nation's hoop, a nest of many nests, where the Great Spirit meant for us to hatch our children. When I read that, I thought, I don't live in a circle. I live in a box with square walls and square rooms and nicely ordered square blocks of streets in a rather hilly up and down New Westminster. And yet, I can see a circle of life. I can see things repeating over and over again. Sometimes I think, where have I progressed? How have I grown on, you know, in this linear progression? Where have I come to? Why, as a congregation, are we back to where we started with 60 members again? Have we failed, or is the circle simply coming around to start again once more? So I have some questions for you in terms of living Unitarianism or living your relationship with nature or living your relationship with all of us. How is it that you do that? What do we do as a congregation that actually lives our faith, not our beliefs? We're not talking about beliefs, about what you believe, because you may believe one thing and act completely opposite it. So that's not what I'm talking about. How do we live? So that's my question to you, and Marilyn's going to run the mic around for people who want to answer that question. Naomi would like to speak. Marilyn?
No, oh, which way are we going here?
Thank you. I love coming. I always feel better after coming to church. But one thing I've noticed over the years, in the summer, I get very depressed when we don't have services.
Mm-hmm. So for you, living your faith is coming together, being with people, being in relationship, knowing, actually experiencing part of this community, this circle of friends. Thank you. Anyone else? I recycle. Somewhat. I recycle somewhat. Yes, Rob.
It was interesting what Black Elk had to say about circles and a series of circles, and I'm kind of forming this mental image of life and history of being a giant rope. It kind of looks circular on the outside, and it's kind of rough on the outside, and you can't see the whole thing, but every individual person is going through a series of circles, a series of cycles, a series of overlapping cycles, and gradually moving forward, but it's a very large and a complex process, and we can never see it all.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anyone else? Luke?
Yeah. It's interesting to me that this concept of circle is coming up because independently of... Is this working?
Yeah. Yeah.
Independently of today's topic, I've been thinking a lot recently about the circularity of my life and how it seems to me to be a very good circle right now, so I'm very happy with where I am. And I've come back to a lot of things. Just last night, Carole and I were at Juste Pour Rire at the Chan Center, which was, we just spontaneously decided to go to a night of comedy the day before April Fool's Day, which was, so I was with, a couple hundred French people in the audience who were looking at this really great French, because I'm French-Canadian. And I've got other things that have been coming around. And Carol, to me, to a certain extent, is also representing coming around to something and my work and everything. So I've been thinking a lot about this cool circle. And also this book that we're reading. I wonder if that's a way of coming back to who I am in a certain way.
Mm, very interesting.
Yes, as the choir sang this morning, do you know who you are? Do you know who I am? See we one another clearly? Do we know who we are?
I feel that I've sort of come to a bit of a realization lately that You know, when you try to be kind and pleasant to people and just be fair and kind, that's not just being kind, it's living out my Unitarian principles.
Thank you. I'll just turn it on. I just want to point out, many of you know this already, but Karen Armstrong pictured her life as a spiral staircase going round and round in circles, but still climbing up at the same time.
Who's Karen Armstrong?
Oh.
Is she a member of the church?
No, Karen Armstrong is a British woman who has written about 22 books on various topics of spirituality, and she studied the Bible and Islam and the Jewish religion, and she started out as a nun, but she's written some very illuminating books.
Well, thank you.
Mm. Yes, spiritual growth, as long as well as that, I think she always includes, and certainly that spiral is very indicative of the way she writes. And I guess I have also had a sort of circular experience, because I started in the Unitarian Church in Toronto forever ago, and then in Vancouver, and then outside, and now I'm back here. And each time I think that spiral is a really good idea, because as you circle around, you hope that your circles sort of get higher. And I think that that can be true. So thank you very much. And now we have our responsive reading.
No, we're not done yet.
No, we're not done
you
yet.
You think I'm done
sorry.
Yet? I'm not
oh,
done
I'm
yet.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're not done yet.
I know it's time for me to be done yet, but I'm not done yet.
She won't stop.
No, I have something to read from Peter Morales. Okay. So first of all, he said, believers are dangerous, and they always have been. So if religion isn't really about what we believe, then what is it about? Can we be religious without a belief system? So all of you who are engaging in, well, what do you Unitarians believe? This is not the question. What do you Unitarians live? How do you live? How do we help one another to live? This is our challenge. Just as we are relational creatures who need one another to become our true selves, so too do our congregations need one another to become a powerful force for compassion and justice. There is so much more we could be doing. This is our spiritual and religious challenge. We must know what we love.